No one can keep a secret forever. Fred and Sarah Tokars are a successful young couple living the good life in suburban Atlanta.
On the outside, this seemed like an attractive couple with two attractive children who lived in this idyllic sort of setting.
But even pretty people can have ugly secrets.
It was this sudden realization that everything is completely false.
They don't know what to do. They don't want to tell their families. That's a secret that people want to take to their graves.
And the consequences can be deadly.
Secrets are very dangerous. Secrets can get you killed.
Soon, every dirty little secret will be revealed. It's 1992 in the affluent suburb of East Cobb, Georgia. And Fred Tokars is an up-and-coming lawyer with a lucrative private practice. Driven to be successful, Fred's practice has many specialties, including taxes, divorce, and criminal defense.
He was an accountant who worked hard, went to night school to become a lawyer. He was an ambitious man who knew what he wanted, knew how to get it.
Fred was very, very dedicated, hardworking, and enthusiastic. He had a divorce practice going, he had a criminal practice going. Fred was the kind of guy who was driven to make money.
Fred's wife, Sarah, is a beautiful and charming publicist who instantly fell for Fred back when he was a rising star in the DA's office.
One of the reasons that she was attracted to him was that he was a good guy. He went after the bad guys, and she had this real affinity for people who righted wrongs. Fred was a prosecutor. He made things right legally.
People that knew my mother would probably describe her as your classic cheerleader type. She probably saw a lot of security in my father. He was successful. He was doing good. You know, here's this guy catching criminals. And from my father's point of view, what's not to like about a pretty girl?
That's correct. Yes, that's exactly what the law says.
Fred takes his new private practice very seriously, often working late into the night, even at home.
By all accounts, he worked very hard. He was always representing people. He was driven to be successful.
Sarah quits her job after having children and becomes a tirelessly devoted mother to their two boys, Ricky and Mike.
Sarah was like a very warm and loving person. You know, exactly the kind of person you would like to have as a best friend or as your sister or as a mom.
I remember her as being very traditional. And she was a stay-at-home mother. She was always there for us, always very compassionate and understanding.
Her two boys, it seemed, were, if not 100%, maybe 110% of her life.
Together, the Tokarses seem to be living a charmed life filled with hope and promise. But no one could have guessed at the dark secrets hiding just under the surface. Or that a violent crime is about to cut all those hopes tragically short. On November 29th, 1992, Fred is away on business when he gets the news that will change his life forever.
He got a phone call from the local police saying, "You have got to return home right away."
Police have found his wife's car on the side of the road, not far from their home.
You're sure? You're positive on that?
His children are okay, but Sarah was found dead inside the car, shot in the head.
When the police first arrived, she was slumped over in her car. There was blood everywhere.
The photographs were just gruesome.
It was the most vicious, horrific homicide I have ever heard about.
Fred is devastated. And a stunned community can't understand why a loving mother and wife would be gunned down in cold blood in a town like East Cobb, where violent crimes are unheard of.
This subdivision was in a very affluent area. It was not the kind of place where you would consider these kind of crimes being likely.
Even more horrifying, Sarah was murdered in front of her children.
To kill somebody right in front of little kids is so horrific that it's unimaginable.
I don't remember being scared at all. I just remember feeling a general blankness. And I remember assuming that she was dead. Because when you shoot someone, they die. And as a four-year-old, that's what I thought.
Police question the Tokars' children at the scene. The boys are physically unharmed, but in complete shock. They tell police a bad man with a gun hurt their mother. Police initially believe Sarah could have been the victim of a random carjacking.
When you respond to a crime scene and you don't have enough facts, you have to make certain assumptions. A carjacking, that would be the most logical assumption, lacking any other information.
But then the boys say something shocking. And it makes police think this wasn't a random carjacking after all. According to them, their mother's killer didn't stop them on the road. He attacked them inside their house and forced them into the car.
An African-American gentleman who I'd never seen before ordered my mother into the car and told her to drive.
They drove maybe half a mile from their home. I think she parked on the side of the road.
And then he shot her.
No, don't!
Police aren't sure what to make of the boy's story. Detectives search the house for clues, but it's what they don't find that troubles them most. Robbery doesn't appear to have been the motive for the horrible shooting.
There were no signs of forced entry, and that's a significant fact because it could indicate that the suspect was known to the occupants of the house.
And so it was pretty obvious to those of us who were covering it that it was not a random robbery, that this was someone who was there waiting on them.
The evidence suggests Sarah Tokars was intentionally targeted. But why? When he was an assistant district attorney, Fred had worked tirelessly to prosecute criminals. Perhaps someone from Fred's past has come to exact vengeance on him and his family.
Everybody thought that it could be somebody that Fred had possibly prosecuted as an assistant district attorney.
Maybe it's like a movie where the criminal comes back to haunt a lawyer whom he blames for putting him in jail.
I don't make a habit of losing.
That maybe one of the bad men was trying to make Fred pay by murdering his wife.
Or perhaps this was a criminal Fred had recently defended.
He represented drug dealers. He represented people who were involved in violent crime. So there were a lot of possibilities just from his client base.
It's also possible that Sarah's killer was just a hitman hired by one of Fred's many enemies. With hundreds of potential suspects, investigators begin checking the backgrounds of known criminals who were released around the time of the murder.
So you're looking for a person who's so angry that they would think that this horrific act would be a measured response to what happened to them.
Sorry, but we do need to ask you some questions.
Fred tells investigators that of all his clients, a couple in particular come to mind.
I went through my files. There are going to be people that are upset.
He just dropped one who couldn't pay his attorney fee. And there's another, a drug dealer who's angry at Fred because he won't take his case. Fred suggests one of them could be behind the murder. But police don't find either scenario likely.
wouldn't be likely that it was somebody who was angry at you from a few hours before. It would be more likely that it was somebody who had a grudge and had been planning this for a while. And no client ever went out and horrifically murdered somebody's wife because you didn't want to take their case. It's just, it doesn't happen.
Without more leads to go on, detectives can't make much headway with their investigation. But they're about to discover they're not the only ones working the case. A private investigator suddenly comes forward and tells police he has some information about the tow cars that they need to hear. Information that will catch investigators by surprise. Someone knows a secret that Sarah almost took to her grave.
It's very difficult to keep all of your secrets hidden. Investigators will always uncover that one little mistake you've made.
Sarah Tokars, wife of well-known criminal defense lawyer Fred Tokars, has been shot to death in her car by an unknown assailant.
All we were able to find out initially was that she had been abducted from her home and that she was killed several blocks, really, from her house. And that was all we knew at first.
So when a private investigator comes forward and says he has some information that could help the case, police are surprised. Why had this private eye been snooping into the Tokars' life before Sarah was murdered? His answer is stunning, because Sarah had hired him. She told him her husband had been making excuses for not spending more time at home, and she suspected he was up to something.
Fred was busy. He was away at work, and he became more distant. She began to complain that he was not attentive, that he was not a good father, he didn't take time with the children. And it became obvious to family members and close friends that there was a strain in the marriage.
You are barely in this home. I can barely find you.
I remember my father not being around very much. At the time, you know, it's just dad works, and that's the kind of thing you accept.
As Fred started to spend more and more time away from home, she started to suspect that he was seeing somebody else. So she hired a private investigator to spy on him.
The PI quickly learned that Sarah's suspicions were well-founded.
He had discovered Fred was living this dual life where he was playing with all these people in these nightclubs. He tried to present himself as a very aggressive, zealous criminal defense lawyer, but he was known in other circles in the city as a partier and a real playboy kind of guy.
The private eye tells investigators that by trailing Fred to the clubs, he soon discovered Fred was keeping a shocking secret. Fred Tokars was having an affair with one of his clients, who's a stripper.
He had photographs of Fred showing that Fred was having an affair.
My understanding is she started out as a client, and over time she paid him something other than cash. You know, they had a sexual relationship, and then it became something more.
Investigators wonder, could this illicit affair have something to do with Sarah's murder?
Affairs can be highly emotional relationships that are sometimes made even more exciting by the secretive nature. But when you start to do something like that, you're going to a danger zone that you may not be able to return from.
When investigators confront Fred with the PI's information, he admits to his affair with the stripper. He says he and Sarah had been growing apart.
It's not that big of a deal. Every relationship has rough times.
Sarah and Fred are kind of a classic example of a father who's decided that work and social status are his top priority, and a mom who's decided that her children and their needs are her top priority, and you have them going down two entirely different train tracks.
Eventually, Fred says, the disconnect drove him into the bed of one of his sexier clients.
He said that he had this affair with a lady because he was distraught and he felt that his marriage was falling apart and he needed somebody to talk to.
But Fred swears he quickly realized his mistake and ended the relationship.
This affair is long in the past.
He said that there was no lasting interest on either his part or the woman's part, and that he and Sarah had reconciled. They had even begun to realize that it was just sort of one of those quirky things that happen in life, and they made light of it.
But perhaps Fred's mistress didn't take getting dumped so lightly.
Revenge is about somebody who was really angry, really cares, was really promised something. They expected money, a house, a life together. Was any of that the case here?
Investigators bring Fred's stripper mistress in for questioning.
They did investigate her and found that she was not upset with Fred, that she felt like it was a monetary transaction, that she hadn't been treated wrong.
Detectives don't believe Fred's stripper had anything to do with Sarah's death, but she may still prove useful to their investigation. Police want answers, and they suspect she knows more about Fred's private dealings than she's telling. They put some pressure on her, and she starts dishing the dirt on Fred and his clients.
The girlfriends always talk to the police because they never have any intention of going to jail just to defend this guy that they're having a short-term affair with. So they know they're going to get a lot of information from her.
Fred Stripper says he dealt with a number of shady people through his legal practice.
Fred did have a lot of unseemly clients. He had represented drug dealers, he had represented strip clubs, he had represented a lot of people who are sort of on the edge of normal society. But that isn't really unusual for a defense attorney.
As far as she's concerned, one person should be at the top of their suspect list. A client of Fred's who owns a club she and Fred often frequented. And this client has a very bad reputation.
I think you should go to this club that me and Fred used to go to. I think the owner might have something to hide.
If this seedy club owner realized Fred was having an affair with a stripper, could he have tried to use this information against him?
If he was in public life and he had something to hide, it could be used as blackmail. So blackmail is something you'd want to look into.
If Fred had refused to pay the club owner to keep his secret, maybe Sarah paid the ultimate price as a result. Could this man be the mastermind who ordered the hit on Sarah in retaliation?
Police had to check out the possibility that perhaps somebody had sent a message to him through the killing of his wife.
Detectives track down the club owner. He says he didn't need Fred's money. The club is bringing in plenty of cash on its own, and he certainly didn't pay to have anyone killed. His story checks out. Investigators find no evidence of an extortion scheme.
There was really no indication that anybody was trying to blackmail him.
Which puts investigators back to square one. Police are unsure where to turn next. But then, a family member comes forward to divulge some of Sarah's dark secrets. What she reveals will make detectives question everything they think they know about the Tokars' marriage.
You make things so difficult for me.
Nobody ever knows what goes on in anyone else's marriage.
Sarah's family speaks, and the truth is more chilling than anyone could have imagined.
The facade hid a lot of things.
I'll make sure you never see your kids ever again.
Never know what goes on behind closed doors.
A private investigator has made a shocking discovery about Fred Tokars' secret life. And the more police learn about his marriage to his murdered wife, Sarah, the more they realize this power couple had plenty to hide.
The police have investigated this case for a little while. And of course, it's unraveling in ways they didn't expect. So now the police are asking themselves, what's next? What are the secrets are we going to uncover?
And now, one of Sarah's cousins reveals to police that the happy face the Tokars' presented to the community was just an act.
From what Sarah told me, Fred had a secret side to him, a side nobody else knew about.
She says that according to Sarah, Fred's personality began to change after he left the DA's office to open his own practice. He became extremely controlling, especially with money.
You want to talk about money?
Fred kept a really tight rein on the money. He wouldn't let her take out credit cards. He didn't want her to have independent finances for any reason at all. So Fred gave Sarah an allowance, which, according to her family and friends, was never quite enough to actually pay household expenses.
And if Sarah ever needed extra money, she had to schedule a meeting with Fred to request it.
She was only given $400 a month for all household expenses, although they had two children.
And so she was constantly having to juggle bills, pay people late, ask for extensions, and it became a real issue between the two of them.
But Fred didn't just control Sarah with money. Sarah's cousin tells police that Fred was physically abusive.
You have no idea what you're talking about. You go ahead and try it. See what happens.
Sarah had her own secret, and her secret was that she was the victim of domestic abuse.
I'm at the office. I come home and I have to deal with this.
She claimed that Fred beat her. She told everyone that she was close to, that it was a hellish life.
I never saw him hit her, though I was very afraid when he would yell at her. You know, my mom's crying and my dad's pacing angrily, and it's scary for a child.
According to Sarah's cousin, by the time Sarah hired the private eye, she'd reached the end of her rope. Learning of Fred's affair pushed her over the edge.
When she found out from the private investigator that he was, in fact, cheating on her, she wanted out of it.
Sarah demanded a divorce. But Fred wasn't about to go down without a fight.
You want to divorce me? I'm a lawyer, baby. You will get nothing.
She said that he had told her, I'm a lawyer. I know all of the lawyers and judges. If you get a divorce from me, you'll never keep the kids.
You won't have the kids. You're not going to get anything.
She didn't know if that was true or not, but she did know that he had connections. But she never went through with it.
It's really hard for women who have children to leave abusive partners. It's hard for so many reasons. It's hard because you're dependent on him for money. It's hard because you don't want to share custody of your children with the abusive spouse. You're going to lose your status in the community. You're going to lose a lot of your friends. So it's very tough once you're married and you have children, to leave these relationships.
Detectives are stunned. If Sarah's cousin is telling the truth, Fred Tokars is hardly the good, moral defender of the innocent he portrays himself to be. But is he sinister enough to have his wife killed? Police bring Fred in for more questioning. And he admits that he and Sarah had their share of arguments.
Every couple has arguments. You're making a way bigger deal out of this than it actually is.
But he says Sarah's cousin is blowing things out of proportion.
When investigators asked Fred about why he was so controlling of the money, he said, well, Sarah had run up huge credit card debts, that she had so many bills and debts when they got married that it took him forever, he said, to pay them off. And so that he was doing this to try to keep them out of financial trouble.
Fred swears he never, ever abused his wife.
I did not hurt Sarah.
And even if the abuse allegations against him are true, detectives still doubt this successful lawyer would risk everything by having his wife murdered. Police still don't know who the mystery gunman is and have no way to tell if Fred has any connection to him. But that's about to change. A shocking confession points the finger at the man who ordered Sarah's death.
People never commit murder without a reason. The reasons almost always have to do with money, love, and fear.
Just as detectives are beginning to think that Fred Tokars may somehow be involved in his wife Sarah's murder, they receive an anonymous tip revealing the identity of her killer. It seems a cocaine addict named Curtis Rower has been bragging all around town about killing Sarah Tokars.
Don't!
Was a fairly large reward out, and the trigger man in the case ultimately was turned in by somebody on an anonymous tip.
Police put the word out that they want to talk to Curtis and are astonished when he not only turns himself in, but confesses to the murder.
Yes, I killed them.
Curtis was very open with him. He had told them, yes, I did it. My reason for doing it was that someone offered him $5,000 and some cocaine. He was a heavy drug user. He was high almost every day of his life.
But who hired him to murder Sarah Tokars and why? Curtis can't provide a reason for Sarah's hit, but he can give police the name of the man who hired him. His name is Eddie Lawrence.
Eddie's business was construction. He bought dilapidated houses, fixed them up, and then rented them out or sold them.
But what possible connection could Eddie Lawrence have to Sarah Tokars? And why would he want her dead?
Whenever a spouse or a significant other is found murdered, the police will always proceed with the theory that there was a lover, or maybe a triangle, somewhere.
As soon as they start to suspect that the perpetrator knows Sarah, they begin to wonder, did Sarah have a boyfriend?
If Sarah was still angry at Fred over his affair with the stripper, could she have retaliated with an affair of her own?
When people are in a revenge-seeking emotional state, they can do anything. Some people definitely have affairs just to get revenge because their spouse had an affair. But those affairs are usually a one or a two-night stand just to prove that you can do it and to hurt the other person's feelings. It's not likely that they would get involved in a long-term affair to get revenge.
But maybe Eddie was looking for more than a one-night stand. If he'd been angry with Sarah for ending the affair, could he have had her killed because of it?
Would this be a reason for Fred's wife to be murdered? Absolutely, it's a very significant lead.
Police bring Eddie in for questioning. He admits he knows Sarah Tokars, but he denies they were having an affair.
I don't have anything to tell you, man. I don't know what you want from me.
Eddie Lawrence and Sarah don't have a personal relationship. They're not in love with each other. They weren't dating, you know. Why would Eddie Lawrence do this? What's the logical explanation for what happened here?
Eddie won't say more. So investigators dig deeper into his background and discover his secret. Eddie Lawrence knows Sarah Tokars because Fred Tokars is his attorney. And Fred isn't just Eddie's lawyer. He and Eddie are also business partners.
Got it right here. Mm-hmm.
Fred made loans to Eddie Lawrence because he was having trouble paying the rent on his offices. And so he loaned him money to keep the business running and loaned him $70,000.
But even with the infusion of cash, Eddie's construction business was tanking. And when he couldn't repay the loan, Fred filed a lawsuit.
I'm in charge. Do I make myself clear?
I just want my company back, Fred.
Fred, in fact, had sued him for the money that he had loaned him and had taken control of his business.
If sex hadn't been the motive, perhaps Eddie was seeking revenge for Fred taking over his business and thought, what better way than to kill his wife, Sarah?
Really, you're gonna sue me?
It could be what we call a falling out among business partners. That's why you would start thinking of that. Perhaps he went to the house to kill Fred. Fred wasn't there, but the wife came in with the kids and gets killed instead of Fred being killed. So it gets complicated.
No one's sure exactly what Eddie's done, but police are convinced he's behind the murder one way or the other. Detectives now believe they have the trigger man, the mastermind, and a number of possible motives behind Sarah Tokars' murder.
Right. This is not a route you want to take.
It seems as though the investigation can be closed and the perpetrators brought to trial. But just as police prepare to throw the book at Curtis and Eddie, Sarah's sister comes forward with a stack of secret documents and a startling accusation that someone else has been pulling the killer's strings all along.
All of those people are criminals, and they all have a million reasons to want to kill each other's wives.
Sarah's chilling last words are finally heard.
Sarah was afraid for her life. She thought that she knew too much, and she expected to die.
Police believe Fred Tokars' business partner, Eddie Lawrence, hired a hitman to murder Fred's wife, Sarah, in an act of pure revenge. But when Sarah's sister comes forward with new evidence, it forces police to rethink everything. In her possession, she has copies of financial documents that Sarah gave her for safekeeping before her death. Documents she'd taken from Fred's private files.
She told me to hold on to these documents in case anything happened to her.
Sarah had copied documents that she found. She told the sister, if something happens to me, turn it over to the police.
Sarah's sister says Sarah always suspected that Fred was hiding money from her because of the way he ruled over their finances with an iron fist.
I think in a situation like Sarah's, where you have these very controlling husbands who have figured out that controlling the finances at this level gives you control of everything.
Fred also forbade her from entering his home office.
He kept Sarah and the kids out of there. He said he didn't want things disturbed and didn't want to lose documents.
But Sarah defied her husband's orders and started snooping around for ammunition to use against him in a divorce.
When Fred wasn't home, she went into his office where she was not allowed. And there she found documents that referred to a lot of money in offshore accounts.
Sarah told her sisters that she kept these documents as insurance in case they got a divorce and he tried to take custody of the children. Then she was going to use these documents to prove that Fred was into illegal activities.
Investigators look through the papers and are shocked at the contents. They reveal Fred isn't just a lawyer for the nightclub he frequented with his stripper mistress. He's also a partial owner. And it's not just a nightclub. It's a front to launder money for cocaine dealers.
Fred Tokars had set up a business to run a nightclub here in Atlanta and to run drug money through it.
And that club isn't the only one. Sarah's secret documents show that Fred isn't just defending criminals through his practice, he's helping them run their illegal businesses.
He got involved with drug dealers, murderers, counterfeiters, and he seemed to be their advisor, telling them how they could launder their money and helping them start legitimate businesses to hide their money. And a lot of their activities involve nightclubs.
And nothing to worry about. That covers us.
And he knew what he was doing. He was an accountant before he became a lawyer, and he worked to become an expert at money laundering. It was a very tangled web.
Even Eddie's construction business is a front for illegal activities.
Investigators work convinced in their investigation that Eddie Lawrence was also involved in money laundering.
Sarah Tokars had uncovered proof that her husband was running a sophisticated criminal enterprise, helping his clients hide their drug money in offshore accounts. And she was going to use that information as ammunition in a divorce.
She was going to ruin his life. She was going to expose his money laundering activity, the false accounts that he had set up.
Everywhere but here. I know all about your secrets. I know about your crimes. I know about the money.
The ball that was entirely in Fred's court is now entirely in Sarah's. Now she has a lot of leverage for her potential divorce. And she can use that to take everything from him. And if she wanted to, she could publicly ruin him in the process.
But little did she know that by threatening to expose her husband's dirty little secret, Sarah was signing her own death warrant. Investigators now believe that Fred hired Eddie to have his wife killed when he realized she knew too much. But despite Sarah's paper trail of Fred's criminal activity, police still don't have any solid evidence linking Fred to Sarah's murder. And Eddie still refuses to talk. Investigators suspect he's afraid of what Fred might do to him if he squeals.
Investigators had put together a pretty ironclad case to Fred's money laundering and his illegal activities, but they still didn't have any connection without Eddie Lawrence to the killing. There was no connection between Fred and the shooter.
Police decide to strike a deal with Eddie in order to get him talking. They tell him that if he reveals all of Fred Tokars' dirty little secrets, they'll take the death penalty off the table and give him protection.
It's a very common law enforcement tactic to make a deal with the criminal because that's the only way you can get the evidence you need. You trade off the little fish for the big fish.
Eddie takes the deal and agrees to testify against Fred. And then he tells police everything they need to put Fred Tokars away.
Yeah, Fred did it. He said his wife was going to expose him and we had to get rid of him.
He says Fred offered him $25,000 to get rid of his wife.
Fred told Eddie when he asked, why do you want your wife killed? He said, well, she's discovered some things that could put me away for a long time. It's better that she die.
But Eddie was reluctant to do the deed.
At first, he wanted Eddie to kill his wife. And Eddie said, no, that won't make any sense. I can't get away with it. There's too many connections. He said, okay, we'll find somebody to do it.
So Eddie hired Curtis Rower for $5,000 and some cocaine. He told Curtis to wait in the house for Sarah and make the murder look like a burglary gone wrong. Fred Tokars was convinced they'd planned the perfect murder.
He's a methodical sort of person who knew what he wanted, knew how to get it, and the sort of person who thought that he'd never get caught.
Police can't believe the extent to which this one-time pillar of truth and justice has fallen. The once shining example of the legal profession has had his wife executed to hide his own dirty dealings.
In this case, the love of money and the fear of being found out as a criminal were all the motive that Fred Tokars needed.
Sarah Tokars knew too much. She had the information to put him in jail.
Police now have everything they need to convict all three men. Curtis Rower, the hitman, receives life in prison. Eddie Lawrence's deal lands him in witness protection with a minimum of 12 years behind bars. Fred Tokars is charged with first-degree murder, racketeering, and money laundering, and receives 5 consecutive life sentences. He still contends that he's innocent.
I have not spoken with my father since he was found guilty. And no, I don't think I ever will. He hasn't been my father for a long time. You don't ever really forgive someone for something like this, and you don't ever really heal from it.
Here was a man who was so in love with his lifestyle and his money that he would subject his children to seeing their mother slaughtered and pass it off as no big deal.
Fred was a very dangerous person. He was a master manipulator and narcissistic, and that combination makes for a very volatile, very dangerous, very violent personality.
Sarah Tokars thought she married a man of principle and justice, but in representing criminals, Fred Tokars became one himself. His fall from grace cost him the respect of his community, the prestige he craved, his family, and ultimately his life as a free man.
I hope that people remember that my mother was a casualty of greed. My dad was a shark. And when you live for money and power, and you've lost after those things, you become a person that could kill his wife.
He killed her, but he didn't silence her. She was able to get the evidence of what he was doing and get it to the right people before she was killed. She got the last word.